If you've done the clap, I haven't actually heard it. I feel like Zoom actually has quite good noise cancelling, and it's gotten better over time. But I feel like it has made the moment of silence redundant, and also I can't hear when you actually clap because it manages to cut it out.
But this was my most important job. That and thanking the Zoom lady so that it does not rain doom upon us. We must treat it with respect, like the Fae.
That is still an important ritual.
Yes.
Welcome back to Journey of the Monkey King. We took a break over the winter, as is our wont. We hibernate every year
Yeah,
before
it's
coming back to
important.
this podcast.
Yep. I was just talking about going on a silly little walk for my silly little mental health and seeing daffodils and stuff and going, yes, season of productivity will soon be upon us.
Yeah,
We will walk in the daylight again.
there's a thing I see every so often where it's a kind of traditional Irish thing to define the start of spring as the 1st of February. And I've seen both Irish people and non-Irish people get really annoyed at this and say it's stupid. It's still really cold in February. Spring doesn't start till whatever. But
We need
like,
hope.
well, also,
Let
it's
us
just
have
like
this.
we're like fairly northern. Like, obviously, we're not Iceland, but like we are up there in the northern hemisphere. And when it gets to February, it's noticeable. There is sunlight again. The sun exists again.
Yeah.
You can see it. There is a chance that if you work a stupid 9 to 5 job, that you're not like starting and ending your workday in darkness.
We live on a soggy little rock on the edge of the Atlantic, and our national pastime is fucking complaining. Let us have a small bit of hope as the sunlight creeps in, okay? It's spring. It's spring right now because we need it to be fucking spring. And if that's denial, then at least it works. It doesn't need to be true, it just needs to work.
Yeah, but it's also just like it's also just like, a meteorological definition of spring versus a like I
Body
can't think of the
space.
term. Yeah, body in space, like seasonal or not seasonal, it's all seasonal, it's definition of season, but like definition by the equinoxes and solstices.
But yes, it's cold, it's damp, it doesn't need to be dark as well. It's no
Yeah.
longer that dark. Let us have this.
And I'm feeling pretty good overall because I have not been sick in like 3 weeks, touch wood.
That's a personal record.
It certainly feels like it at the moment, dear God. Shit was going around. Shit kind of continues to be going around, but hopefully it eases off now that everyone is not inside all the
Yeah.
time. Anyway, podcast.
Yes.
Before we start back into the chapter, I want to send you on something I saw floating around on Tumblr during our break, MJ.
Oh dear. How cursed is this? On a scale from
I don't
0 to Carl Kinsella's tweet about hand sanitizer feeling like cum, how cursed is this?
It involves a curse, but I would not say it is cursed.
Okay. Okay. Does that technically a spoiler?
It's not at all.
Okay.
This is I guess I will include a link to this in the notes. This is Tumblr ads have gotten very unhinged over time as all the advertisers have left, and also they don't like Target ads, so you just get whatever. You just get, like, if you pay for ads on Tumblr, just get fire hosed out to random people with no real, like, targeting, is my understanding. So, like, serious advertisers,
in nature,
yeah, serious advertisers don't use it. So you just get fun stuff. And this is just a post of someone saying, "Is anybody else getting ads on How to Kill the Monkey King?"
This is beautiful. How to kill Sun Wukong. The ritual steals an immortal spirit, tethers it to a straw effigy, and then kills them by shooting the effigy in the eyes and heart. So if at home you need to kill an immortal spirit for any reason, this is for you?
What this actually is someone just advertising their blog in a silly way, which is cute. There's a blog called Journey to the West Research, and they made a silly post about, like, actually something from a completely different kind of Chinese story involving gods from the same kind of era as Journey to the West, and this magic ritual in it. I was kind of like, maybe you could use this to kill Sun Wukong as well, as a very tangential way to tie this little anecdote back into Journey to the West. I thought it was kind of funny, but
so you're saying if I have a disruptive house spirit who keeps leaving my oven on, which is completely unrelated to my rampant, untreated neurodiverse conditions, this ritual will not work?
It's worth a try, but it involves, like, praying on top of a mountain for a month straight.
I could use a break. Fair, fair. Podcast.
We left things off kind of mid-story on chapter 76 we're going into, because I needed a break. I think MJ also needed a break. Breaks were necessary.
Yes.
If
I could be on top of a mountain right now, I would be.
Yeah, so Sun Wukong's kind of on top of a mountain right now. The Lion Camel Mountain. And there's three demons there. If you remember, there's the most junior is the Great Eagle Rock, Rock Oroc, the type of legendary bird, yellow tusked elephant, and the head demon is the green haired lion. And Wukong is inside the green haired lion right now because he was swallowed by him.
Not because he liked his riz.
Yeah, liked his riz, really?
I'm trying to be down, but I'm having a quarter life crisis. Well, let's just read the script, Quiva.
Check out MJ's TikTok.
I can't use TikTok. The interface hurts my brain.
I think it's meant to.
I know.
But yeah, Wukong is inside the lion's stomach, tormenting him, causing him great pain. And the lion begs for mercy. And I'm just going to read a paragraph here verbatim. You may disagree with this, MJ, I feel, but, like, you know, I think this is meant to be a sign of character development and how the narrator talks about Sun Wukong, but it says,
mm-hmm.
Now, though the great sage was a warrior, he thought only of the Tong monk's progress when he, a person not unreceptive to compliments, heard how pitiful the fiendish demon was begging him, he became kind-hearted again. Fiend, he cried, I'll spare you, but how will you send my master off? I think we'll agree about the a person not unreceptive to compliments, but you know, it's also,
I mean, he's certainly gotten better of thinking of others.
Yeah.
Better with thinking of others when he's not completely overwhelmed by his own lack of impulse control.
You heard it here first, folks. Torture works.
Torture works?
Because the headband is making him a better person.
Ah, I thought you meant torturing the lion works.
Oh,
that's
right,
the
yeah,
system.
That is also... I guess we'll see how effective that is over the course of the chapter.
I mean, it works when you want an outcome, not when you want to know something, but it... For my own character development, maybe you shouldn't cut that, but...
you can certainly coerce people to do things, but that does not necessarily improve them.
This podcast does not endorse torture.
Yeah, we're taking a bold stance. Anyway, the lion does promise to escort Tripitaka across the mountain. He says they'll get him on a palanquin and bring him across themselves. And the lion opens his mouth to let Wukong out, but the Eagle Rock whispers in his ear, okay, right? When Wukong is about to jump out, you just bite down on him, chew him up, kill him, and swallow him again. This is the plan now. Honestly, this sounds like cow behavior to me. You're just kind of swallowing something, spitting it up, chewing it again, eating it again.
Ugh.
But yeah, they have failed to consider something with this plan, though.
If you chew Wukong, he just turns into millions of tiny monkeys.
No, Wukong can fucking hear them. He's inside
yeah,
the line. He can hear
good point.
The line hears.
Right.
So what he does is he shoves the golden tooth robbed out in front of him. And when the lion feels it kind of poking out, he bites down on it and shatters his teeth against it. Which I've had that dream before.
Yeah, I think we all have.
It's not
Just
pleasant.
Just spitting all those teeth into the bathroom sink before you have to go and have a challenging conversation or sit an exam. Yeah,
yeah.
We know this. We know this one.
The lion blames the rock for this because he said to do it. But the rock deflects. He tries to rile up Wukong again by saying, "Ah, oh, you're just some small timer. If you were a real hero, you'd come out and fight." And Wukong's like, oh, "Okay, before I come out, I want you all to go outside so I'll have room." So the three demons.
I'm a fucking giant monkey who can't fit in a lion's stomach.
Yeah, well, he also wants to be able to escape
yeah.
So that they can't, like, bar the gates or anything to him. So the three demons go outside, but before they let Wukong out, they get their whole army in formation ready for a fight. And again, Wukong can hear all of this. He can hear the big army getting ready outside.
Oof.
And so he considers his options for a second, and before he leaves, he takes one of his hairs and he lengthens it out into, like, still a hair thin, but like a rope that's a couple hundred feet long, and he ties one end loosely around the lion's heart, and he holds the other end in his hand.
Okay.
So the lion still does have some teeth left, and Wukong is worried about them. So instead of heading through, or sorry, he's not worried about being eaten by them, actually. He's worried that if he takes the rope he's holding out through the mouth, because he's holding this as like a trap, that he still has this tied around the lion's heart, so if the lion tries anything, he can just pull on it. And he's worried that the teeth could cut through the rope. So he heads out the nose instead, which causes the lion to sneeze him out. But yeah, Wukong...
Ow!
Wukong's ready for this. He's ready for a fight. He grows from sneezable size, he grows to 30 feet tall. One hand on the rod, one hand on the rope. And...
sneezable size obviously being a real unit of measurement.
Yeah.
From certified physicist Queeveny Queeve.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of a concern of biologists, but
fair.
So the lion and elephant charge Wukong. He manages to parry the first couple of blows, but then he flees out to the clouds. This is why he wanted them to go outside. He didn't want to get surrounded and blocked in. And then he just yanks on the rope, causing the lion to collapse in agony. The lion falls to the ground and leaves a 2-foot crater in the ground. He hits the ground so hard. So the demons are like, the demons like call Wukong a sneak. Like they're, oh, we just wanted to lure you out and have a fight and ambush you, and you're doing this trickery to us.
This isn't fair. We just want to kill you. God damn.
And Wukong is like, you tried to bite and chew me up. You tried to ambush me with this army. I'm single-handedly fighting you all here. What the hell do you expect me to do?
Actually, 3-1 is probably a fair fight in Wukong's case.
Three against one, but with an army of thousands of other monsters for backup.
Yeah, he doesn't have enough hair for that.
The lion begs for his life again and says again he will let the pilgrims cross the mountain. So Wukong says, well, if all you want is your life, all you need to do is cut the rope that's coming out of your nose. But the lion is like, yeah, but you still have this thing tied around my heart and this thread like dangling down my throat. That shit. He doesn't. I can't imagine that's very comfortable.
No, I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that on a visceral level.
Yeah. So Wukong's like, okay, I can untie it, but you really have to actually escort my master across the mountain this time. And he's like, yeah, I will. I will definitely going to do it this time.
100%. 100%.
So Wukong retrieves the hair magically, and the demons thank Wukong and promise to go get the palanquin and come to escort Tripitaka. And everyone puts away their weapons, they all split up, and Wukong heads back to the other pilgrims to tell them the news.
And this is totally successful and nothing goes wrong.
Of course. What has gone wrong is that while Wukong has been dealing with the demons, Baji has went back to everyone else and told them that Wukong got eaten by the lion and he's dead. So Tripitaka is wailing, and Baji and Wujing are dividing up the luggage between them and planning on just breaking up the pilgrimage because they're fucked without Wukong.
It certainly seems that way.
I mean, like, yeah, but also he's not actually dead.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't blame them for going, well, we lost our one person army. Don't think we're gonna, we have not successfully managed to do literally anything without this creature. Time to go home, I guess.
Well, maybe if they didn't have Wukong there, they wouldn't like having to keep relying on him. Maybe they'd be able to step up. Maybe they're just using Wukong as a crutch. Which is actually now that I think of it, that's a really bad expression, because people who use crutches generally do need them, and they can't just man up. Actually, yeah.
You can't. I never thought
about this
leg.
Before.
I don't know. Maybe Wukong sort of causes more problems than he solves.
Yeah. Yeah. Wukong is fairly pissed about this. When he shows up, Baji thinks he's a ghost.
That tracks.
Come back to haunt them. So Wukong demonstrates that he's not a fucking ghost and he's here in the flesh by decking him in the face.
You can't be upset about anything that happens to Baji. You just can't.
So, Wukong explains the actual situation to them. While on the other side of the mountain, the elephant demon says to the lion, "Oh yeah, when you promised to escort the pilgrims, you were lying again, right? We're going to kill them. He's just a little ape. We're going to kill them, right? It's fine." And the lion is like, "No, why are you trying to go back on this? What are you doing?"
It wasn't your heart literally on the line.
Yeah. But the elephant is like, "Okay, just give me 3,000 soldiers. I'll get them. That's all I need. I just need 3,000 soldiers." And the lion is like, "Okay, I'll let you do this, but don't limit yourself to 3,000 soldiers. Take them all. Take everyone we fucking have. Don't limit yourself
again,
like this."
It's a fair assessment. It's a fair assessment.
So the elephant gets 3,000 soldiers and lines them up by the road and tells Sun Wukong to come fight him.
"Meet me outside, bitch."
Meet me outside. He does not take the lion's advice and just, yeah, tells Wukong to fight him. So the pilgrims hear this. Baji accuses Wukong of lying about the demons surrendering. Wukong thinks, "Oh, the lion was definitely subdued. He was sincere. But this is one of his younger brothers standing up for him." And he kind of says to Bajis, "Look, these guys, there are three demons out here on the mountain, and they're looking out for each other. Three of us never look out for each other. We're meant to be brothers on this pilgrimage, and actually, we suck. They have their back, and we never have each other's back." He ends this by saying, "Therefore, you should go fight this guy for me."
Yeah, that's a great way to doom everybody.
And Baji is like, "Okay, I'm totally not scared. I can definitely take him. But can you give me that rope you were using for your trick earlier so I can, like, just tie it around my waist, and if things go badly, you can just pull me out of there?"
I get being upset about the unfair division of labor here, but this is a one-person army. This is literally... This is not just the party's tank. This is a one-person army.
Yeah. But yeah, it's hard to believe Wukong is sincere about the "we need to watch each other's backs" when it all just leads to, "and therefore you need to go in there alone instead of me."
Again, You can't really be upset about anything that happens to Baji.
Yeah, you might enjoy the next bit.
Yay!
So, long story short, Baji goes to fight the elephant. He fails to do this. He calls back to Wukong to pull the lifeline. So, obviously, Wukong, having just had the big rant about how they never help each other out and they don't treat each other as brothers, drops the rope as a joke.
Well.
Yeah. So Baji tries to flee himself, but he keeps tripping over the rope that's now just hanging uselessly off him and trailing behind him on the ground. And he gets captured by the elephant, who rolls him up in his trunk.
Okay, yeah, that again, that tracks. Like, this is you can't feel bad about anything that happens to Baji, but this does seem like, again, just Wukong creating more problems than he solves.
Yeah, a little bit. So yeah, Tripitaka is watching all of this, and he's pretty disgusted by it, and it just, like, says to Wukong, it's like, you were literally just saying that there's no amity between the three of you, and you do this.
Again, it's a fair point.
Yeah,
it's Wukong, a really fair point.
Wukong laughs at this, and he's like, God, you don't show this much concern when I'm taken captive, but when Baji is taken hostage, oh, you blame me, and it's you can't believe you're blaming me just because this is definitely my fault. Look, I only want him to suffer a little so that
that's what we do.
So that he sees how difficult this is and how cool and great I am for dealing with all of this.
We all want to see Baji suffer.
And Tripitaka is like, I was concerned for you, but also, you're capable of looking after yourself. He's useless. Please go rescue him.
Get your ass out there.
So yeah, Wukong goes off and he's going to rescue Baji, but he still doesn't tend to let him suffer a bit. So instead of just freeing him, he turns into a cricket and he hitches a ride on Baji. He jumps behind Baji's ear and tucks himself in there as a little cricket and waits to see what happens. So the monsters tie him up and they sent him out to be soaked in a pond until the water causes all of his hairs to fall out, at which point they plan on curing him and sun-drying him to save the meat for a rainy day.
It's responsible.
So, Wukong, again, he just considers what to do for a minute. He's like, well, on one hand, this guy keeps trying to break up the pilgrimage on a drop of a hat if anything goes wrong, and he keeps telling Tripitaka to use the tight Phillips spell on me. But he is, you know, a good Buddhist now. The way he actually phrases this is he says that Baji is a member of Buddha's birthday feast, which is probably an existing expression. I just found it cute.
It is cute, but also, who's inviting this guy to any more parties?
Certainly not the Peach Festival.
Yeah. Well, no one should go to the Peach Festival, but I don't think he's a responsible guest. I don't think I would invite him anywhere. He's drama.
Yeah. And Wukong thinks, and this is just kind of made up on, like, that, or I say made up as well, like, this isn't foreshadowed, this is just kind of coming up now. Wukong says that Wu Jing told him the other day that Baji has some money, and he's been, like, managing to put away some money in secret, in savings. And to test this, he crawls up to Baji's ear, and he puts on a fake voice and calls out, "Zhu Wudeng, I have been sent by the gods of death to summon you."
Pay me and I'll go away.
Yeah, no, pretty much that's where this is going. He's like, go back and tell, you should go back and tell your boss that my older brother is Sun Wukong. And that I just want one more day before I die. I'll go to the underworld tomorrow. Just mention Sun Wukong's name, it'll be fine.
I swear I'm on the list.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure going to hell and mentioning Sun Wukong's name is going to get you. It might get you preferential treatment because they're still scared of him, or it might just, like, get you double killed.
Yeah, because they are pissed off.
You would have to imagine that they probably still are. Like, he didn't just break out of hell. He, like, fucked up the record keeping.
And that is unforgivable.
Mm.
Someone worked real hard on that data entry.
Mm. So yeah, Baji is begging for his life, or he's begging, he's like, just give me one more day to say goodbye to the other pilgrims. And Wukong is like, okay, I've 30 other people on my list to pick up. I could go get them first and get you on the way back. If you give me something in return. You got any money on you? And yeah, Baji does have a little bit saved up. He had 5 maces of silver. Looking up unit stuff, this is maybe 18 and a half grams-ish going off the same. I talked about, like, one of the not that long ago episodes about it. Units of measurements, I use the same sources. So yeah, I'm not sure how much that would actually be worth in terms of buying power, but yeah, he has 5 maces of silver, and he got a smith to melt down all the coins into a single piece, although the smith shaved off a bit for himself. And it's apparently hidden inside his left ear, which does not sound comfortable.
Oh. You gotta be... That's 18 grams inside an ear? Seems like a lot, no matter how big your ears are.
Yeah. So Wukong finds it, and he starts laughing. And Baji recognizes that laugh. And he is immediately pissed. And they have a bit of a screaming match, and Baji is just like, "Look, I just wanted to be able to buy some new fucking clothes.
Aww.
This rag is tearing off me." But yeah, eventually he's just like, "Okay, fine. You can keep the money. Just please rescue me." So Wukong hauls him out of the pond, and Baji wrings out his wet shirt and wants to head out the back door. Wukong is like, come on. That's not very manly. We should fight our way out the front door.
That back door is smart.
They do, at least, while they're fighting their way out, find Baji's rake and manage to rearm him. So they do have that going for it. But as they're on their way out, the elephant also manages to intercept them and finally faces Wukong head to head.
The elephant never forgets.
To kill.
Dun dun dun. Coming to a cinema near you.
I definitely stole that from somewhere. Was that Simpsons? It was from something.
I
Actually, it
have
might have
no
been
idea.
Futurama.
If you want to donate to the Kickstarter for our elephant murder movie, yeah.
Where was I?
Elephant is fighting Wukong like a man.
So
Mano a mano.
Baji just watches the sidelines, Wukong is able to fend off all the elephant's attacks, so he goes for his signature move, which is grabbing Wukong with his trunk. Wukong no sees what's happening, and he lets himself get grabbed, but he raises the rod up over his head so his arms are still free. And he shoves the end of the rod up the elephant's nose.
There's so much nasal violence this chapter. Right in the nussy.
Oh, Jesus.
It's not, two friends of mine keep saying it, and it's just infected my vocabulary. Too many cursed things this episode.
Anyway, what's the word I'm looking for? Disabilitates, this is that a word?
Debilitates,
Debilitates.
maybe.
That's what I was looking for. This is a whatever. This fucks up
It's
the
a
elephant.
debilitating attack.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
The elephant fucked.
Elephant fucking owned. The elephant lets go. Wukong grabs him by the trunk and he starts dragging him along. Baji, now that the elephant is already pretty much subdued, decides to try and join in. But Wukong is like, don't hit him with the teeth of your rake. We don't want Tripitaka to get mad at us for unnecessary violence again. Just hit him with the pole of the rake. That's fine.
Just a blunt instrument.
Yeah. So they drag the elephant back to Tripitaka, who he bows to. The elephant bows to Tripitaka and promises to go fetch a palanquin and escort them across the mountain. And so the lion and the elephant are now both like, oh yeah, we're fucked. We should give up and just let them go at this point. This is the smart thing to do. Trying to go but trying to double cross them like five times in a row was really stupid.
Yeah.
But
They know when they're beat, but the elephant, not the elephant, the eagle.
yes. The eagle has a plan.
Of course he does.
So he controls the Lion Camel City on the other side of the mountain. And he thinks that they will escort the pilgrims up to the city. And then when they think that everything is fine and they're done and they've gotten across the mountain and the monsters have been true to their word, then they'll spring a trap.
Dad.
I'm gonna quote one more paragraph, and again, I just want to see what your thoughts on how Wukong is described now by the narrator. But being of fleshy eyes and mortal stock, that Tripitaka did not perceive that this was a trick. The great sage Sun, too, was a golden immortal of the great monad, who was by nature honest and upright. Since he thought that the experience of captivity and release had truly subdued the fiend, he did not expect any intrigue, nor did he examine the situation carefully before he complied with his master's wishes.
No. Also, Anthony, you, I love you so much, but fleshy-eyed.
I mean, I do not know about translation. It's, I guess, like, is as in, like, not divine. Like, fleshy is in this context, not divine.
Well, yes, but fleshy-eyed. Not good. Also cursed.
So yeah, the demons give them a escort worthy of a king across the mountains. They have Tripitaka up on a palanquin. They stop to feast every couple miles, but then when they start to get close to the city, and Wukong sees it for the first time, he is so shocked that he falls over. Wukong falls over, not Tripitaka.
The horse is fine?
The horse is fine. Wukong is ahead of everyone else, and he has better eyes, so he sees it before anyone else realizes it's wrong. But the city is just run by monster spirits. Tigers, deers, foxes, snakes, wolves, leopards, hares, boars. There is not a human soldier in sight.
Sounds like local politics, am I right? Seriously, it's important. Get involved in your community.
Yes. So while he is kind of staring in shock, the rock sneaks up behind him and attacks him. The lion attacks Baji and the elephant attacks Wu Jing. And the 16 monster troops who were actually hauling the palanquin simply just run away with Tripitaka. And drag the horse behind them into the city and lock the gates behind them. This is pretty much the plan.
Okie doke. So they're just giving them a maze to escape into?
Yeah, no, well, they bring him straight into the palace and they're like, okay, we can't scare him. We can't scare him too much because it'll sour the meat. So it's like a cow, you need to treat it well.
Oh god.
They run him straight to like the palace, sit him down at a nice table, start bringing him rice and tea before he has a clue what the hell is going on.
These people are feeding me.
Yes.
Mixed signals.
Yeah, he's just like from Tripitaka's perspective, he is just suddenly hauled at fucking lightning speed into a palace and has food shoved in front of him, and he does not know what the hell is happening.
Yeah, confusing. I hope the rice was at least good.
Well, we'll have to find out in chapter 77.
More than three quarters through of the way through this novel.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
Like in general.
This momentous achievement.
I don't know, there's still some really fun bits that I'm still really looking forward to getting to, actually. Like, I guess after a while, after like reading this book like three times now to do this podcast and having to narrate all the episodes, there's some chapters that's a bit repetitive, honestly. But it's a fun book. And there's definitely still some more bits I'm really looking forward to.
Excellent. Trojan work from Quiva.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with this book. It's amazing and you should keep listening. There's no criticisms at all. Podcast. Woo. Actually, speaking of podcast, so I said before the break, I was planning on moving this podcast to like self-hosting. That doesn't mean I won't be able to get like analytics or download numbers and stuff anymore, but I don't really mind. I just, my attitude is kind of put this out into the ether and don't stress over the numbers, because otherwise I will get obsessed with them.
We have a very dedicated band of weirdos who like us.
Yeah.
And that's all we can ask for.
But so my plan is, I will put this episode out. About a week after it, I will do the switch over to repoint the podcast to the self-hosted feed, which is already up and running, but you can find it at oakreef.ie/monkeyking, oakreef, O-A-K, or W-E-F.ie, and I'll have a link in the description as well. When I change it, no one listening should have to do anything. Everything going well, it should just smoothly swap over, and you should not have to do a single thing. I am just giving the link on the off chance something goes wrong with this, and if, you know, 2 weeks after this episode goes out, if you're getting errors in the podcast feed or the new episode is not appearing, you will be able to refine the feed and links to the Apple Podcast feed for it and Spotify and everything for it on oakreef.ie/monkeyking. Again, you should not have to do a single thing. It should all work automatically. I am just being paranoid about this.
Yay, convenience. I'm still, if all goes well, still on Spotify, Apple Podcast, yep. All that good stuff.
I use AntennaPod. It's nice. It's open source. Woo. I have the podcast with Jen about The Ring that is also self-hosted at oakreef.ie/ring. Listen to that if you want to hear about the tape that kills you and that series. I'm good at promoting things.
I'm just crawling out of my winter burrow, and the stuff I want to promote is in the show notes, I think.
which is the Pisteria Ireland Sinead shows, probably, stuff like that. Yeah. Stuff, things of this nature.
That kind of stuff. And stand up. That's what I do, allegedly.
Do you think we'll figure out how to end the podcast before we finish the book?
Never.
Bye.
Bye.